Let's begin with the word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds to know that you search for us when we are lost. In your name. Amen. How many of you have a special place in which you keep your car keys? A special place when you come into the house, you put your purse or your wallet or your keys. Okay. When I come into my house, the first thing I do is let the dogs out and then convince them that, no, we're not going to play right now. But then the second thing is that I go to a basket that I have on a counter and I put my car keys, my church keys, my wallet, everything else. Now, why do we have a specific spot in the house? Well, so we can find our keys, so that we know where our keys. Well, what happens when we lose the keys? You know, we have them in our hand and we're walking through the house, and without really thinking, we set it down to do something else, and then when it comes time, you can't find the keys. And you look all over the place. And now that they're lost, you start trying to find it. Have you ever noticed that we never lose our keys when we're not in a hurry? Oh, well, I've got a half an hour before I have to get there. I'll leave. Wait a minute, I forgot my keys. Where are my keys? No, 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 no. It's always when we're running late. If I leave now, I can get there just in time. Wait a minute, where are my car keys? They're not in the basket. Where did I place them? And of course, well-meaning people ask you that one question that is never helpful. Where were you last when you lost your keys? If I knew that. We're in a panic. We rush around like a chicken with our heads cut off. Eventually, you find them and you leave the house all stressed out. Well, losing your car keys is kind of a small thing to other things that we might lose. Losing track of our children could be one of them. You're in Tractor Supply and you have your son or your daughter next to you, and all you do is you turn your head for a moment and you look back and they're gone. Or worse yet, pumpkin show, and your child wanders off and true, real panic sets in. The value of what we lose is directly connected with our nerves, our worry, and our panic. Well, this morning Jesus tells two stories, two parables about searching for something of value that is lost. First of all, let's take a look at the context of the lesson. Verse 1, tax collectors and sinners were all crowding around to listen to Jesus. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses started grumbling. This man is friendly with sinners. He even eats with them. Maybe a little context. See, according to the religious Lutherans of the day, the religious leaders of the day, what Jesus was doing was scandalous. To be in public with someone who the text says was judged, quote, as a sinner, was some of the worst things a religious leader could do. You see, the good people of the day, the righteous people of the day, the holy, good old church-going people of the day, they should never be caught with that group of people. Even cavorting with tax collectors. Now, tax collectors were one of the hated people of the Jews. See, they were Jews themselves. And they worked for the pagan, the Roman occupiers to, well, obviously, collect the tax. But they could collect whatever they want. So they would collect more money from their own people than the Romans wanted. And they got rich off of the hard work of others. Well, let's put it in today's terms. Who are the sinners who are in town here? Well, of course, we are. We are the sinners. We kind of grow comfortable with our sin, which is really bad. But we become like those good religious leaders of Jesus' day, and we begin to point to other people out there, the ones we don't mingle with or associate with. Those are the sinners. Maybe it's someone with jail time. Maybe it's someone dealing with drugs. Maybe it's that person who we know cheats other people. One who takes advantage, looks for a way of gaining money illegally from other people. Those are the people that you and I might call the lost. Well, Jesus now tells those two stories about something that is lost. The first is a shepherd. And a shepherd has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray. If any of you, the text says, has 100 sheep, one of them gets lost, what will you do? Won't you leave the 99 in the field and go look for the lost sheep until you find it? Well, I guess there could be some rationale or logic for not looking for the sheep. I got 99 others. What's one lost one? Or I know where they end up. They end up in a ditch or tied up with the briars, or maybe even a predator comes after them. Well, that's a city perspective. Those of you who have livestock, have done 4-H projects, you know that you're like the shepherd. If it leaves, you do whatever you can to find that animal. Well, the second story is one that perhaps I relate to more, and maybe you. What will a woman do, the text says, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one of them? Well, obviously, those are of great value then and today. And if I lost one of those coins, I would be just like that woman. I'd look everywhere, high and low. I would open up the couch and look at all the pillows. I'd pull out the stove and the refrigerator. Maybe it rolled behind those areas. See, in two simple stories, Jesus gives us something to relate to. Some to the lost sheep, some to the parable of the lost coins. But here's the thing. The stories aren't about the sheep or the lost coin. It's not about anyone who we know would classify as sinners. See, the story is about Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the woman. And the stories give to you and me a glimpse of the heart of God. God who sees the value of every person. Jesus is the searcher. Jesus is looking for us. He's not looking for reasons to condemn us, but He wants to beat the bushes. He goes sweeping the floors for us. Jesus expends all of the energy, all of the time to search and gather His people together. That's what He does on the cross for you and me. He goes to the extreme to bring us back to Him. To return us to the fold, return us to the purse, return us to the family of God where there is true celebration. See, and that's what the text is all about. That's the end result. When we are found again by Christ, when all people are brought back into the fold, it says there's a celebration in heaven. That the celebration is that every one of God's children are precious. And they are filled with His grace and love. All people, you and me, have value. All people are worth searching for. And when they are found, there's great joy in Jesus' name. Amen.